preaching this afternoon is the doctrine of Holy Scripture as summarized for us in the Heidelberg Catechism. We'll particularly have a look at Lord's Day 52, question answer 127, which deals with the sixth petition. We read as follows. What is the sixth petition? Answer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That is, in ourselves we are so weak that we cannot stand even for a moment. Moreover, our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, do not cease to attack us. Will you, therefore, uphold and strengthen us by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that in this spiritual war we may not go down to defeat, but always firmly resist our enemies until we finally obtain the complete victory. Thus far. After the proclamation of the Lord's word, we will respond by singing from hymn 53, verses 1, 2, and 3. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, back in Lord's Day 45, when speaking about prayer, it was asked, what belongs to a prayer which pleases God and is heard by Him? Then the second part of the answer was, we must thoroughly know our need and misery so that we may humble ourselves before God. Yet it is so that because of our weakness, we do not always see our need and our misery so well, do we? Often our need is what we need in the immediate. And often our misery is how we feel for the moment. And that would then also very much affect our prayers, not so? Therefore, so much of our prayers are focused on ourselves, of what we think we need, then on the Lord, and how we can best glorify our God and increasingly praise Him. But the Lord Jesus Christ knows man so well. He knows what man really stands in need of. And He summarized that so well for us in six petitions. And we are now about to look at the last of these six petitions. Now, each one of these petitions thus far, we can see the wisdom of our Lord Jesus. For He knew exactly which particular requests we fallen creatures need to ask of our Heavenly Father. Further, in His great love for us, He would also teach us to ask these particular petitions of our Heavenly Father. For having bought us with His precious blood, He also now wants to preserve us in the Spirit, knowing that in our own flesh and blood, we cannot even stand for a moment. While this is true for all the petitions, this comes out so much more in this last petition. For no area do we stand more hopeless and helpless than respect to our fight against our sins, not so? Our fight against the temptations that come our way, temptations that we are sometimes not even aware of, that we even bring into our lives unwittingly at times. And our fight against the evil one who caused us to fall in paradise and would not leave us alone for as long as we have breath in our lungs. Therefore, although this is the last petition, the Lord Jesus taught us to pray. In the prayer the Lord Jesus taught us, it certainly is not the least of the petitions. All the petitions are very important and affect our constant need to turn to our Heavenly Father and everything we stand in need of for body and soul in this life in order to fulfill our ultimate calling, the praise and glorification of God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, I may proclaim to you the word of God this afternoon as follows. Our Lord Jesus Christ also taught us to pray to our Heavenly Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I will say 2 points. First of all, in ourselves we are so weak and cannot stand for a moment. And secondly, in Christ we are strong and victorious. So first of all, our Lord Jesus Christ also taught us to pray our Heavenly Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In ourselves we are so weak and cannot stand for a moment. That we must, first of all, realize. That we must, first of all, confess that we are indeed so weak in ourselves that we cannot even stand for a moment. Are you able to say that of yourselves? Do you confess that, brothers and sisters? That's not what we're going to confess so easily, is it? We're not so quick to confess that. We like to think that we're made of tougher stuff, that we are really not so weak as the scriptures make us out to be. Our inclination is to say, that's fine what the scriptures say about human weakness, but that may be true for someone else, but I don't feel that weak at all. I'm rather tough. I can stand against evil if I want to. But that's just the point. Do you want to? Do we in ourselves even want to? You know, the great Augustine, in one of his writings, spoke quite honestly about his struggles before he entered into the service of the Lord. Augustine had been taught very well by his godly mother, Monica. And so when he was young, he had been taught to pray the Lord's Prayer. And he also knew in his heart that the Bible was true. And yet he was not prepared to serve the Lord. And so, as not to upset his mother, Augustine, in obedience, would pray the Lord's Prayer. But quietly in his heart, he would add, "Yes, Lord, convert me, but not quite yet, because I'm still enjoying myself too much in this world." How many of us, while we would not confess this quite so openly, honestly, struggle with the same? Still want to enjoy some of the things of this life? And even if we want to fight against our weaknesses and sin, can we? Do you realize, brothers and sisters, that we are really, since our fall into Satan's hands, of such flimsy material as the flower of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow? We topple over with the slightest gust of wind, with the slightest temptation, with the slightest wicked desire that rises up within our hearts. How weak we are. Does it not happen sometimes when a parent asks his child, "Why did you do such a dumb thing? You know that you will get into trouble. You know that is wicked." Or a policeman asks the perpetrator, "Whatever made you do such a thing?" And then you get this for an answer, "I don't know. I guess just for the fun of it, just for the thrill." True. Some don't mean to be wicked. They just did not think about the cost to their neighbor, to themselves, and foremost, what they are doing to their God, the Creator. Yes, how weak we are in ourselves. So you see, brothers and sisters, that really the sixth petition is a natural follow-up of the fifth petition. For with the fifth petition, we asked of God the Father that, for the sake of Christ's blood, do not impute to us, wretched sinners, any other transgressions, nor the evil that still clings to us. Nor the evil that still clings to us. Have you confessed that evil still clings to us? We need therefore ask of our Heavenly Father, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now someone might say, why do I have to ask of my Heavenly Father to not lead me into temptation? For that gives the impression that He does lead people into temptation, doesn't it? And therefore we need to ask of Him to not lead us into temptation. And those who don't ask, He leads into temptation. And those who do ask, He does not lead into temptation. But God appears to be the one who brings about temptation into the lives of His people. That, of course, is not true. But there were people, even good Christians, covenant people of God in James's days, who thought that God indeed tempted them when they were being tempted into wickedness and sin. But then James reminds them that our God is a good God who knows no evil. Only good gifts come from Him. He is the Father of heavenly lights. That is, He is the one who provides all living creatures with light and life. And He does not change like the shadow on a dial that keeps shifting with the moving sun. No, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He can also not be tempted, and He tempts no one. Okay. So then, Where does temptation come from? James says, it comes from within ourselves, from within our own evil nature, with all its evil inclination desires of so many kinds and strengths. Temptation that is now a part of our life, brothers and sisters. That is because we have taken the nature of the evil one upon ourselves when we fell into sin. His nature is to tempt. That is what he does all the time. That is how he got man to fall in the first place. That's how he will attempt to get man to fall again and again. Even attempt to get God's children to fall entirely away from God if he could. But he can't. Because God is all powerful. And so none of his chosen ones will ever be snatched from his fatherly hand. Yet realize, brothers and sisters, that the powers against us are not small. They are great. The Catechism lists now three enemies, and that they are sworn enemies. Sworn enemies. That is, they have vowed to take us down. And they are not going to stop until they have won. That's scary, isn't it? But we are not always so aware of that, are we? Sometimes we let down our guard and succumb to the devil's tactics. Like a soldier who has let down his guard because he's thinking about his wife and his children are back home while he's on duty. Then he's bound to get himself shot. And these enemies are the devil, the world, and our own flesh. That is, a mighty spiritual force of the universe, the devil. The whole wide world in which we live. And our own personal self as well. For what's left after that? Nothing. Nothing. Everything is therefore against us. The devil, the world, ourselves. Everything is against us. Then we are most hopeless, aren't we? Who then dares to yet say that he's not weak? Even so weak that we cannot stand for a moment. Now we don't always feel that way. That we are continually being attacked. We so easily are so busy with the day-to-day things of life, putting bread on our tables, raising our children, enjoying our families, doing our work, to give this matter much thought, that there is really a great war going on constantly. Obviously, we're not talking about the physical flesh and blood war going on in so many places in the world, but what the Apostle Paul spoke about in Ephesians 6, when he said that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now that's quite a list, isn't it? We are to understand from this list that the devil also has his rank and file soldiers working for him. And we're also to understand from this list what they are after. They want to be rulers, that is, maintain being rulers of this world after Satan took this world by force through deceiving Adam and Eve. They are spirits at war over our souls. They want to remain the authority of our lives, and they would use every power of darkness, every spiritual force to entice man to remain or return to surrendering his life to the evil one. And he knows exactly how to do it. The devil is prowling around seeking whom he can devour. And he knows man's hunger. He knows man's greed, man's lust, selfishness, jealousy, and so many more things. So you see, brothers and sisters, how we, with our evil nature, with all these evil characteristics that it is now so much part of our lives, gives the devil a strong foothold into our lives. How weak we stand. There's so many evil characteristics of ours against us. And the devil knows too how much we love power and wealth. And he would too turn that beautiful gift of sexual relationship that God has given to husband and wife to become uncontrolled in the lust. How awful and how weak we are by our own nature. By our very many, many evil inclinations and characteristics that became so much part of us in our fall into sin. We must then too realize what this means for our daily lives. It is this, that there's a tug of war going on in our lives. The devil wants to pull us back to his side. Then here too, we have to realize that of ourselves, we cannot stand even for a moment. We are then so weak. How can we of ourselves stand against such a mighty spiritual being of this universe? Yes, it is true that the devil is just like us, in that we are both created creatures, made by God, the Creator, yet they are nevertheless made of different form. We are made of the dust of the ground, and thus we are physical and visible in nature. But the angels, thus also including the fallen angels, the evil spirits, are spirits. Thus, although they have form, they are invisible. And so they have one up on us. They can see us, entice us, but we cannot see them, so that we could flee from them. No, we cannot flee from the devil himself, because we cannot see him. But we can flee from his manifestations in the many evil works he does and displays. And that is what we are to do, brothers and sisters. But of ourselves, we cannot. Because our fall into sin through the devil, we have now a bit of him in us. So that without God and Christ in us, we do as he does. And then these evil spirits are then also so much more powerful than man. Should that scare us? No, certainly not. Christ, being the Son of God, is far more powerful. But that should cause us to humble ourselves, so that although we are inclined to think that we are not that weak, yet when we think about these powerful evil spirits out there, and they are everywhere, using gambling, pornography, greed, jealousy, you name it, a huge list of human weakness, constantly attacking us, at war over our souls, then we must realize that we are really quite weak, and that we must therefore flee to another much stronger than ourselves. And so we come to the second point. In Christ, we are strong and victorious. Yes, brothers and sisters, thanks be to and praise be to God, who has not left us to ourselves, otherwise we would surely be destroyed. For it would surely be, as David also exclaims in Psalm 124, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us up alive. The flood would have engulfed us, the torrents would have swept over us, the raging waters would have swept us away. But praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Yes, praise the Lord. That's how it is. It is all the Lord's doing. When we are able to withstand the enemy at the gate, when we do not succumb to our evil desires and evil inclinations, when we turn from the temptation that is suddenly placed before us, perhaps by a friend or a worker on a TV program or a magazine or a computer or an iPad or our phone, we know that Christ is victorious. And we know, too, that all those chosen unto eternal life will also be victorious, will overcome even such formidable powers beyond our own control, as the devil, the world, and our own flesh. As the devil could not hold Christ in his death, so he cannot hold us in the death that we brought upon ourselves by our sin in paradise. But we will not only be raised up on the last day physically, but also today be able to live a new life, which the Scripture calls a new creation, a life by which we no longer are controlled by the evil spirit, and thus also not by the evil passions of our flesh, but by Christ's Spirit at work in us through his Holy Word. But then, brothers and sisters, we need to do exactly as our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to do, and that is to pray. We need to pray to our Heavenly Father for constant strength, for we have already confessed that on our own we cannot stand even for a moment. Only in Christ's Spirit can we conquer over the evil desires of our hearts, conquer over the enticing devices that the devil would throw on our way, also through all sorts of allurements in this world. Therefore, we must constantly pray, and also pray this petition of our Heavenly Father: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then we must also pray this with a believing heart. But it's also so, as James wrote, When we ask, we must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Then you realize too that one who prays with a believing heart will not have the thoughts that Augustine once had in his heart. For either we must live our prayers or our prayers will be in vain. We must not only pray, but also act on our prayers. It is indeed a matter of work and pray. Pray and work. So if you have no intention of fleeing from evil, fleeing from wickedness, from the things that tempt you in this life, then you might as well not even pray. For the Lord will not be with you. And you will fall into your temptation. But you will also be held accountable, for you know better. You've been taught better. That is what James said. God does not tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own evil desire. The desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. If you're going to pray this prayer, which we must, then we must also act on it. We must live our prayers. Then we have to flee from sin. And then when we really strive to flee from sin and pray the Lord to help us, then you may also be sure that he is right there beside you, helping you not to succumb to wickedness. Indeed, it is a matter of work and pray. Pray and work. That also means that when we pray the Lord to uphold and strengthen us by the power of his Holy Spirit so that we do not go down to defeat, but always stand firm against our enemies, that we must always be there. Be there where Christ's victorious Spirit would strengthen us. For although the Holy Spirit is free to work as he wills, the Lord has determined the means by which the Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts, and so also strengthen us to stand firm against our enemies, and that is by staying close to the reading and hearing of his Holy Word. That is what the Apostle Paul spoke about to the church in Ephesus. In his closing words, he told them to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And he also told them how they can be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might stand strong against all enemies. And using the metaphor of a well-equipped soldier, the Apostle Paul told them how we as Christians, bought in Christ's blood, can be prepared for spiritual warfare. And that is by putting on the full armor of God. Then the first piece to be put on is the belt of truth. Why? Because Satan depends on deceit to maintain his power. That is how he sought to cause our Lord Jesus to fall when he was sorely tempted in the desert. But then the Lord Jesus resorted to the truth. He quoted from Scripture. And that is to be an example for us. Therefore, if we are to resist the devil, which we must do, then we must also know the truth. Then we must know the Scriptures well. Then we are to have his words not only on our hearts, but also on our minds and on our lips. Our first line of defense is always to be truthful. We must never distort or misrepresent the truth, regardless of any advantage we might have in that regards. The second piece of equipment is the breastplate of righteousness. Any sin in our lives leaves us open to Satan's attack. Even though we are given the righteousness of Christ, we must still continually put on Christ's righteousness. We are to continue to strive to walk in holiness and godliness, seeking power from above to do so. And the third piece of equipment is the shoe of the gospel of peace, discord. That is what Satan loves to sow. But Christ came to restore peace. Christ came to restore unity and true love and one faith. But we must strive to live in peace. True peace is found in the reconciling blood of Christ. We must then be forbearing with one another's weaknesses, knowing that we too are so weak in ourselves. And we need also to constantly pray for one another. We should always seek reconciliation as God in Christ reconciled us to himself. And fourthly, we are to wear the shield of faith. For strong faith will not succumb to the fiery darts of the evil one, of Satan's temptations. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you, says James. And we must hold on to the hope that is within us, ever before us, remembering that the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so constantly wear that helmet of salvation. That helmet protects us also against Satan's darts, things that come up in our minds, darts of discouragement, doubts of doubt, doubts of worries. We have the hope of salvation ever before us, obtained in Christ's blood, out of mere grace alone, which is now as a firm anchor for our souls, firm and secure. Even though bitter struggles, we shall not be moved. We shall not fall. For Christ Jesus is with us, and in God the Father we trust. God and Jesus Christ is our strength and our refuge. Further, we must hold on to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Indeed, it is with the Word of God that we send the devil fleeing. We need to know the Word of God so that we can know when and where to use the sword against all kinds of attacks of the evil one. And last but not least, we are to remain constant in prayer. Brothers and sisters, prayer expresses our complete dependence on God. Prayer confesses that we are so weak that we cannot for a moment stand on our own. Prayer also empowers us with the power of Christ's resurrected spirit of a renewed life to stand strong for Him through all circumstances to fight against the devil's darts. There was a day when Satan wanted to attack Peter, wanted to sift him like wheat. But the Lord told Peter that he prayed for Peter so that his faith would not fail. That is what Peter should have done, pray. And that is what we need to do daily for ourselves and for one another, so that we will not be led into temptation, but delivered from the evil one. We would think that Peter did that, pray constantly. After all, he was a follower of the Lord Jesus, but perhaps their prayers were more in the way of the Pharisees, ritual prayers, words without too much thought. After all, the disciples had been taught by the scribes and the Pharisees when they were young. And remember, too, they asked the Lord Jesus how to pray. Perhaps they sensed from the way the Lord Jesus prayed that there was something lacking in their prayers. The Lord Jesus then said that this was how they were to pray, a prayer like the Lord's Prayer, which must be said not only with clear thought and intent, but also with a lifestyle that strives to live the prayer in daily life. Brothers and sisters, in the power of the Spirit of the resurrected Christ, equipped with the armor of God, we will be victors. There can be no doubt about that. No doubt whatsoever. We have nothing to fear. But that is not because the evil spirits are few. No, they are many. Very many. Very many. Even thousands. One day the Lord Jesus cast out an evil spirit out of a man. And Lord Jesus asked the evil spirit, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Well, Legion in the Roman army means something between 3,000 to 600 soldiers in number. Yet note that prior to being cast out, the evil spirit had shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? Do not torment me." You see, the evil spirits are scared of the Lord Jesus. That should give us great confidence to go on in our strife against the devil, the world, and our own flesh. We will be victors. If the evil spirits are afraid of the Christ, then they will also be afraid of us, in whom Christ's Spirit has made His home. But then we must also shine the light of Christ in the way we live our daily lives, in the places we go, the things that we do, the material that we read and watch, the people we associate with. If Christ's words are always on our lips, are always on our hands and our feet, etc., if we wear the righteousness of Christ, we will not have great difficulties in resisting the evil one. Oh yes, there will be battles, and some of the battles will be very nasty. Yet in the end, we will be conquerors in Him who loves us. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, Satan may try to attack us, and he surely will. And he will continually be checking out our weak points, working on them to get us to turn against our gracious and merciful God and Father. But nothing in this life, brothers and sisters, neither in the present nor in the future, nor any power in heaven or on earth, not even death itself, even if we have to die for the Lord Jesus, will be able to separate us from the love of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. So powerful a bond do we have with our God, our Heavenly Father. He will not let us go, not for the life of His Son, whom He has allowed to die that bitter and shameful death on the cross for you and my sake. Such is the bond we have with Him. And so through Him, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's also remember, brothers and sisters, that Satan is still only but a creature, so that although he is many, he is not omnipresent. But our Lord Jesus Christ is everywhere present. He is everywhere. He's there to help you from whatever temptation to sin may arise, if it's in public places or in private places. He also has his many myriads of faithful warrior angels working for him, by which he will guard you in all our ways. For as long as we continue to make the Most High our shelter from the storm, the Lord our refuge, Psalm 91. So it is this way, brothers and sisters, as Apostle John also comforts his dear children in the congregations he serves in 1 John 4. He says, little children, you are from God, and so you have overcome them. That is, every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus as Lord. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That is, Christ Jesus is far greater than Satan, who is still roaming around in this world, seeking whom he can devour. Brothers and sisters, in that knowledge, and through our faithful and constant prayers, you can go on in a good fight of faith against sin, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, knowing that one day, we will be completely victorious upon Christ, our Lord and Savior's glorious return. Amen.